All right, are you guys okay if we call to order?
Oh, sure.
Okay, we're going to call to order the Administrative Control Board meeting for Manton Regional Water. It's April 20th at 6 o'clock. Do we have any public input?
We do not.
Excellent. Do we need to go into executive session?
Not.
Excellent. Any questions on the consent agenda? Any questions on the minutes or the check register? Can I? Oh, go ahead.
All right. I was going to say, sorry, I had to pull this out. I had two on the check register. The Caman Commander XT sounds super cool. Where are we using that?
That's the side by side. It's currently part of the treatment plant. They use it to get up to wells or pump stations in winter instead of having to try to snowshoe in and things like that. And they took it out for its maiden voyage a couple weeks ago, and the user sent us all a text saying, "Thank you so much. This was so nice." It's a pretty cool looking machine, actually.
Sweet. So it's just for off season kind of use,
You
or
it does it right now, it
everyone?
has tracks on it, but you can put wheels on it too and get it off road in
It
the.
replaces the side by side that the district has had for
Okay. And then my other question was just that it looked like there was two invoices from Jacobs and that month. Was there a reason they split those out, or?
It's just payment of timing payments because it's two different payments we made during the
So
month.
the
But I
check
think.
register is in Czech numeric order. I asked the same question this morning. Why don't we?
That's why the smile.
So it's not like they submitted two invoices the same, like 5 days apart or whatever it was. It's just how they got paid.
They give them monthly, and we probably just had one that lagged into the beginning of the month, and then we got the next one and paid it that month too, kind of thing. So
Cool. Awesome.
that's too funny, Andy. You called that one.
I just had a question on the hydro specialties. I didn't know what polymer lids were.
They go over the meter pits.
Okay.
So we need polymer lids so that the meters will read. And there was a real short supply of those for a while. So people actually couldn't finish their construction or they'd put a metal lid on it and then we couldn't read it. So we just picked up a bunch and I think they actually sell them to people. I've seen several of them go out as you need one. We've got one. We can sell you then.
So it's not two lids, it's probably like 200 of them,
Yeah.
right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a big delivery of them.
Okay, great. And we didn't have any purchase orders.
No purchase orders.
No purchase orders. We're going to be out of here at like 6:30.
We're thinking.
Okay, do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda as discussed.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's unanimous. And then we're on to you, Steve.
Just real quickly, you did see in the board packet, hopefully the new credit card report as well. So if you have any questions on that, go ahead and bring them up probably in the check register time,
Could it
or
be
you
slightly larger?
Oh,
Like the World Cup
the text?
It was really
Yes.
hard to read, yeah.
Okay. We'll make it larger for next. I'll figure out which other columns I can get rid of or we'll figure out something. I'll make it larger.
Okay.
It was really useful to see like the breakdown of like who's spending what kind of stuff. Thank you.
Okay. So, through the first quarter, we're doing pretty well. As you can see, our net position's at $359,000. We projected to still be net position negative through the first quarter, and we're actually positive. So we've got a positive variance of $490,000. Mainly made up of revenue that's $320,000 more than budgeted, and then expenses that are additionally $170,000 below budget. If you go down a little bit right there, so revenue for the first quarter, interest earnings is our greatest variance. It's above budget by $163,000, followed by water sales. The interest we're earning, as you recall, last time this year, we were earning like a quarter percent, maybe 0.3. We're earning 4.8% on our funds right now. So we're earning 10 times the amount of interest. Later, I'm going to show you something really interesting about interest earnings and impact fees and what's changed since last year. The usage is slightly higher through the first quarter, but mainly the retail water sales is higher because the base grew a little bit more at the very end of the year than we thought. I had more convert over and start being base water users, not standby users. So that's why we're running a little higher on that budget there. looking, this isn't on the thing, but looking today, if we lose May usage revenue because of all the snow outside, and then all the, and we cut June in half because people don't start watering till the middle of June, we'll probably lose $300,000 to $400,000. So our overage right now, we might be back tight to budget, let's say. So we're going to enjoy it while we can and then see what happens with usage. If you go down to the first, Park City is taking more water. We've kind of talked that already the previous meeting, the first quarter. So that's why they're above budget. The other revenue is where the interest earnings is. That's why that's above budget. Let's look at that first quarter just by residential category. You can see most of that is residential. The other categories were pretty much right, close to budget, commercial, churches, schools, government, a little variance. The wholesale is higher because of the Utah Olympic Park. As we talked about, they're taking about three times the water they usually do in the first quarter. And also, so that was the part there. And then the Park City wheeling made that higher. All right, Chris, thanks. If we could go down, we'll hit expenses. The interesting thing here is we're about $169,000 below budget. About $100,000 of that is from payroll expenses because we've had delayed hires, haven't made a hire, and just some other factors. But we usually do have just a little bit of a cushion in there, and now it's being amplified by the slowing. We did get the one hire. We haven't done the other one, and the one hire that was done later than planned. So that's where a lot of our savings are coming in that area. Okay, let's go ahead and drop down a little more. That's all good. Cash, let's see, we're at 326 days this year on about $18.2 million of operating revenue that's not in any specific fund, just, you know, invested for us to use and cash we can use. The debt reserves by the district are down a little bit. That's impact fees and things that we can use in that category. So we've been transferring money out of impact fees because we can to help pay for debt. And this year, new impact fees are not keeping up with what we're transferring out so far this year. The debt reserves held by the trustee that went up by $192,000. That's because we always transfer in just under $300,000, but we made some debt payments in March. So they came out of that fund. So that's kind of netted down. There's just a couple of small bond payments we make in March. All right, let's go on down. Regionalization reserve, customer growth. So we're up to 23 new connections through March. Last year we were 86 and the year before 109. So yeah, there's a slightly slowing trend in the new people requesting new connections. And as you'll see, last year in 2022, we were at $298,000 in impact fees. And so far this year we're at 75. So I did approve a few more today that are coming in. So hopefully this will start to catch back up to budget, but we are below budget right now. And then Promontory, I have five of lots that have been sold compared to an average of 17 over the last 4 years. All right. Let's go down a little bit. The water consumption, go down to the one more box down. Let's just look at the quarter. So for the quarter, our customers, direct customers, are 229 acre feet. The Olympic Park is 20, which you see is, you know, normally it's 15, so that higher than normal. And Park City is already, we've already wheeled 783 acre feet to them, which is, you know, quite a bit higher than the normal of 498 or an average, let's say. And Summit Water, we've already sent 284 acre feet. They're only allowed 700 this year. So that's kind of where usage is playing out so far.
And they're off from now until July 4th, basically. We'll turn some of the water back on.
Okay. Let's go down a little bit more. Oh, this is what I wanted. So I include these just in the quarterly report. The interesting thing, if you look at interest earnings right now, we're at 255,822. People kind of follow me, kind of right under project grants. Mm-hmm. And impact fees were at 75,000. Now look at last year. Last year, interest earnings were only at 24,000. So we're $231,000 more in interest earnings. Now look at the line right below it, impact fees. We're down 223,000. So I just thought that was interesting that as interest rates have gone up, we've made almost exactly as much up in interest earnings as we've lost in impact fees. So just the dichotomy of a year and what the Fed raising interest rates has done. All right.
It's a good insulation.
Yeah. So at least one goes up. They don't both drop at the same time.
Yep.
And then let's go ahead and go down to this is the cash report. We kind of went over this with just a little more detail about each fund. And then the last one, the graph. Yep. So the blue line where we're going, that's basically base growth and a little bit of usage, but or rate increase is why the blue line's higher. If you look at the red line, that was 2020 when usage stayed high during the whole summer. And then last year is the purple line where you can see once people got their first bill with the drought rates, it really dropped in August. So yet to be seen, but, and the green line's 2021, which is kind of an average year, let's say. So, we'll keep you posted. Where I talked about the drop in revenue in May and June, it's because May usually goes up about $150,000. I don't think we're going to get that. In June, I think we'll only get half of that, and it usually goes up another 400,000. So you take, we're probably going to lose 150 in May and 200,000 in June of usage, potentially. But don't hold me to it. We'll see what happens. All right. That's it for me tonight, unless there's any questions.
When it comes to ULD and Park City water usage, is this the beginning of a new trend or is it a little anomalous?
It looks like a beginning of a new trend as they've built more on the hill. They've added another storage pond up top.
They put a pond for sighting, so they're just going to continue to grow.
Okay. So we're
and expand their Park City as well? Or?
No, I think Park City, once Three Kings come online, I think you're going to see that drop.
Okay. Yeah. So we won't be delivering as much raw water to them.
Well, until
summit
starts
fine. Audit update
scheduled for Three Kings. Do we have an estimate?
This year they're still doing their. They got run through the ring and they're going to get the pilot program all starting up this year. Correct, Sam?
Okay. Yeah, I think they could. At the meeting, they said they were going to start making drinking water in August.
So what's the tide from Park City, the Three Kings? Like, why do they need to purchase from them?
Based in Gatum.
Park City's new plant in Three Kings is going to be able to treat all the mine water.
But why would Park City buy from them instead of us, I guess?
So Park City?
The mountain resort. Or is that?
Oh, the Olympic Park?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the wheeling through the Olympic Park.
Okay.
And they don't have a connection to Park City Municipal.
Okay. That makes sense.
We did project Park City, the Three Kings plant coming on near the end of the summer. So we didn't count on sending all the 2,900 acre feet. So we'll see how that plays out. We should be okay budget-wise, I guess is what I'm saying, because we knew it was going to be coming on at some point in time. And most of it's fixed. $40,000 a month of that is fixed, hard costs that they have to share with us in Lost Canyon. The audit update, we've got quote-unquote, well, another draft back from the auditor. Andy, Lisa, and I are going over it this weekend. We'll have a final draft of the auditor with our changes on Monday. He'll probably turn that around. So next week sometime, I'll send you a final draft to read through, Karen.
Okay.
She's going to be out of town. She's going on a cruise to Norway with a daughter from May 4th to May 20th.
Yay.
So she's going to present in our June 4th meeting. But we'll have the final report before she presents, maybe before she leaves, if not as soon as she gets back.
Okay, I'll try and turn it around quickly. No,
yeah, we'll see. You know, but no pressure, but it's all going well and things like that. So.
Okay.
All right.
Right. Let's see. It looks like we've got Chris with a consideration for recommendation of the annexation of parcel PCPRVR-1-AM.
All right, so this is the first annexation of this year. This is the RV park, specifically just the lower lot. Excuse me, they're trying to improve 35 spots down there, and they don't currently with their wells, they don't have enough source to provide water for the 35 spots. They're also doing a sewer connection as well. I believe they have to do their own lift station. So they're kind of going full in on this They approached us sometime last fall to talk about it, and they've been working with Alliance Engineering to come up with plans and so forth. They have to install a PRV building for us to be able to get the pressures down. They're also going to have to pay an impact fee, so that is something that Steve hasn't counted on yet, but it's going to be approximately $50K coming in that. So they're petitioning you guys to push to the council annexation in this bigger parcel.
What's your recommendation?
We recommend.
Okay.
We have water line that's between the interstate and the front of the parcel. They will have to cross the road, and then they'll have to grant us an easement, but they're aware of all these items. So the owner and the engineer are on board. They've talked to us for keeping us in the loop.
What about it?
Oh, go ahead.
What about the cross connection?
There is none. They are aware of our requirements. Alliance does a lot of work with us. They do a lot of the Summit Park design, and they're completely aware that the systems need to be completely separate. Their existing system will only serve the existing lots on the front and the irrigation and so forth for the pool and the clubhouse. That's all the existing system will be. They're not be connected in any way to our system.
That's the trick. It's hiding the key. Those cross connections. Yeah.
I mean, we have to do the inspections on the installation of the line. I mean, we're going to be at a much higher pressure than their system. They would actually have to pressurize it. And from a backflow standpoint, and we talked about them having a backflow device in our PRD building by the meter, because it's a commercial connection.
That sounds good.
I didn't realize we had a line along that side of 80 there. What other connections do we have?
So it runs. It's just a transmission section that comes from the Spring Creek. It's running along this side of the road on the called the north side of I-80 through here.
Yep.
There are no connections on this side, and then over here by the.
Because that's all Summit, right?
Yep. And then over here crosses under and goes to our well. We'll go to well 6. And then through Gorgonzola to kill it.
Okay.
That's interesting that it's on that side, not the other side.
Yeah. No, it was counterintuitive. When did we put that line under 80?
Well, it's been
directionally drilled under.
Yeah, I mean, it's been just after 84.
When we did the line replacement last year, where was that?
The Kilby one, that's on the other side of the line replacement.
That was
from the roundabout at the Jerry exit up to the
pump station
right across.
So it does cross at some point in time. Because I remember thinking it was on that side because of that line
replacement. Right, no, it's on the other side. The one line that actually runs here in Pine Brook Boulevard and then comes around through Pine Brook, through Quarry Village, and then out on Montgomery Road.
Okay. Good to know.
Any other questions?
Who knew they had a pool? I've driven by that thing 100 times.
I know. I didn't know either. Yeah.
It's actually a super cool place. My parents stay there a couple weeks every summer.
Do they?
Somebody's like, oh, yeah, my family stayed there. Chris lived there, right?
Yeah, when I first moved to town, that's where I stayed for a week.
And if you'll notice, all the upper lots have individual parcel IDs.
Yeah, their actual ownership.
Thank you.
Yeah, so people actually own their RV spots in the front. The back will not be that way, keeping that property. It's actually become a fairly lucrative business, it seems like. I've read a bit about it, about the RV
and their own lifestyle.
Their
own
new manager. Yeah.
So they've got a national management firm came in, and that's who's spearheading all this.
They changed their dump station policies at that time.
Did they? They
did.
Yeah. Lucky no one's bitter about that.
None.
Is reclamation tied into that too?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, so they already have a sewer line that runs through the upper portion.
Okay.
Down below, they currently don't have any sewer. So they're adding two small column pump stations, if you will.
Okay.
They're the same pumps that you would put inside of a private home, fewer on a low pressure system.
Okay.
And they'll serve, I think, 20 or 15. What is it? What is
the 35 is the total.
Yeah. So they're splitting it in half. It's going to be 18
on each one to pump up.
One to pump up
to their line they already have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. So do we need a motion to send this up to the council?
Correct.
So motion for recommendation to the Summit County Council for approval of the annexation of parcel PCPRVR-1-AM into the service area of the district.
Do we have a second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, that's unanimous. Okay, great. And then we're on to Lisa with the district's drought level recommendation.
So as part of the drought response plan that we adopted in 2021, we now annually make a designation of what our drought response level will be every year. And we do that at our April board meeting. And that usually comes on the heel or just after Weber Basin has met and made their decision. And we spoke with Weber Basin. They're not having any restrictions at this time. Still lots of education trying to delay turning on and we're still moving forward with conservation programs and turf removal, but no formal restrictions. So based on that decision, Mountain Regional staff would like to adopt the same restriction that would put us at a drought response level one, which would just be normal. And I kind of listed in that memo what that would be. Like I said, we'll continue with all of our education programs. We'll continue to keep the, you know, keep our drought response and all of our active links on our site for drought, but we don't, we're not advocating any restrictions at this point in time. And we just need to, have a motion by the board to approve that.
Well, let me make a couple of comments. One of my concerns is, and this is not directed to anyone in particular, but, you know, this is only 1 year, and I'm just wondering if we should have restrictions. I mean, 1 year doesn't make a trend, obviously. We don't know what next year's going to bring, and I know we've had a lot of snow. I mean, I've seen pictures, I've talked to friends and all that kind of good stuff, but I'm just really concerned we're getting very loose, and we should be more restrictive. But that's just my opinion.
Joel, I think we agree that this could be a 1 year anomaly, so we're still going to try to get people to conserve and not use water as much.
Okay.
But from a snowpack and water availability, probably doesn't make sense to go to a 4 or 2. But we are going to continue to message. We have the Rain Barrel and other programs that we're promoting. I don't know if you saw our district newsletter.
And that's why we do this on an annual basis.
Yeah.
We revisit this every year because every year we could be dealt a different hand. This year it's very, you know, advantageous for us from a water perspective, and next year might not be, but so I agree with continuing the messaging, but aligning with, yeah, where the basin is.
Aligning. And this is just the current drought monitor that came out today. So as of today, we are no longer in a drought per the U.S. drought monitor. This is what Utah looks like right now.
Which would make it really hard to do anything other than a water.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, and I sit in on the biweekly meeting with everyone in the state of Utah, the Division of National Resource, and they're the one we really at that meeting we really discuss the different sections of the state and where people think it's heading, not just from the factors that are used here, but what people are actually seeing on the ground. And everyone has that same concern, Joel, that we don't want to loosen up and have people just, you know, go crazy and start watering. But I think everyone's pretty well aware that this is an anomaly, and this isn't going to be a continuation of a pattern that we're going to see for a long time. And I think people are still very much aware that last year we were at a level 4 and, you know, now we're at a level 1. So like you said, Ian, this is something we have to continue to revisit. This is just where we are right now, and it could be very different next year.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So do we have a motion to approve the district's drought level recommendation?
Yeah, motion to approve the district's drought level recommendation at level one.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, that's unanimous. Yes. Thanks for that, Lisa. And then Andy, tell us about the floating solar array.
So as everyone knows, we've been working on this for several months now. The money that we thought was going to be available through Blue Sky is probably not going to be at the levels that we had anticipated. There's other mechanisms that we could look at, you know, just going out and get traditional financing, try to go into the state and things like that. But based on the loan that we can get and the useful life of the equipment, there wouldn't be the payback that we initially thought we were going to see. We are still moving forward with Amerisco looking for some Blue Sky funding, but at this point we may be shifting gears and considering entering into a public-private partnership with Amerisco where they would install the solar array, they would then own the equipment, and then we would just be purchasing power from them. It may be slightly more expensive for us to do that, but it's a sustainable, it kind of helps along with this, the county's sustainable goal. It does give us that solar option at the plant. So our application is due to Blue Sky on the 27th. I've asked Roger Armstrong if he'd be willing on behalf of the county, as a county council chair, to send a letter of encouragement or endorsement of this project. So that's where we are with that at this point. So it's still something we'd like to do, but unless there's another financial mechanism to do it, it would something we would not do. It's not worth the funds to do that. An update on the Gilmore lot. So last month we asked for a budget amendment for the infrastructure. There are still too many unknowns with the blasting and the site grading. So when we went and met with the council, we asked for the budget amendment. They approved the budget amendment. However, we did not enter into the first amendment to the budget amendment for the infrastructure. We are trying to get Oakland Construction under contract as our CMGC. CRSA is moving forward on the shop building and the administration building and other things. So we'll keep you up to speed on that. Again, the goal is a year from now to break ground and hopefully be in by June of 2025 is the goal. Oakland, representative from Oakland Construction did join us on our call today for the first time, but they are not technically under contract. But I think we've made some great strides on what we're looking for in a building or buildings.
Is the bedrock issue kind of a known entity at this point? Like,
no.
It's the first time I've heard glass thing.
So, you pointed this out from the beginning.
I've got it on video. So they're working from Old Highway 40 back.
Yeah.
So we have not had a geotech out on our site yet. Our site was actually used as a snow dump for a while. So hopefully, and CRSA is trying to get Forex Engineering under contract to help with that. And then with Oakland's help to figure out what kind of bedrock we have on that site. So that's where we're at.
Is that hard to do?
Okay. You want to see any?
You want to see a picture
of what they've kind of shown us so far? It's kind of cool.
Of the building, and I just didn't. I was asking Chris.
It might blow the getting out at 6:30 though.
We're okay. I'm okay.
We can keep going. I'll look for it.
Yes. So every year, as part of the Western Southern County Master Agreement, we are required to provide what our surplus water is, what our demand is, our finished water. We are not putting any more water on the table at this point. Park City is offering surplus water, and they're matching some water gallon per gallon. We did have an initial concurrency meeting this week. It's interesting to see some of the water production go this way and the purchased water going that way. So if you'll notice, the way the Exhibit D works is anything in the five-year window is a perpetual obligation of both the person, the entity that's requesting it, and of Weber Basin. Weber Basin then just has to decide who's going to fulfill that obligation. The next 10-year window is what we think we're going to need, but it's not a binding number. So if you look out into 2032, Summit Water is looking for 1,850 acre feet.
So is this, that, which in 2032?
See line 16?
Yeah.
You can follow that across. You'll see out there 1,850.
Chris, could you scroll up a little bit? Because we're not looking at the top part, right?
Okay. Line 16.
Yeah.
Coming across. Okay.
So we currently have water that will sunset in 2025. It will gradually reduce in 24, 600 acre feet in, from 700 acre feet this year to 600 acre feet in 2024, and then 500 acre feet. 400 acre feet of that is sediment water. And so all of that will sunset December 31st, 2025. At this point, we do not feel like we have anything else that we can put on the table. The next portion of it, if you'll go to the map.
Oh,
interconnect, yeah. So currently, there is no way for Summit Water to receive all of the water that is currently subscribing to. And so there is a new interconnect that will more than likely be construction on Highway 224. It'll be able to feed about 2,400 gallons a minute, which basically is the majority of what Summit Water's demand is. We can participate in this interconnect, but it would probably cost us $2 to $3 million to do that. Since Summit Water is looking to subscribe to 1,850 acre feet, knowing the limitations of the pipe, knowing what the limitations are from Park City, I am recommending that we do not participate in this interconnect. There's no benefit in my mind for the district to sink that much money into something that we have no benefit, that we receive no benefit from.
Yeah, I didn't realize we had a chance to, or an opportunity to opt out.
So the way the regionalization agreement is, there are certain interconnects that were part of the master agreement, and then future interconnects, if someone asks for, the way I interpret it, and I think Dave has validated it, we are not obligated to participate in it. It, by doing this, it should free up capacity in the Highway 40 system. But if you look at, so Park City ran a test several weeks ago, it's got a capacity of about 1,095 gallons a minute.
Which pipe?
The Highway 40 system. Summit owns 50% of that system and then is entitled to 50% of the remaining 50%. We own 20% of the remaining 50%, which would be about 104 gallons a minute. That really doesn't do us anything. So even if we bargain into this new interconnect, the benefit of 100 gallons a minute is not significant enough. Now, could we ask Park City for their 100 gallons a minute? Yes, that might buy us a little time. But next month, or in the next 2 months, we're going to have a discussion on what direction the district is going to do as far as expanding the treatment plant, developing other source or not. We had a meeting with Jacobs yesterday to fully expand Signal Kill. We're looking at about $35 million. So what we need to do as a district is decide, is there going to be growth? Will people conserve? Who's going to pay for this? Can we do it? I mean, we're going to need to do it at some point in the future, but when is the future? We believe it'll take about 2 years of permitting and approval from the state. And Steve showed you that our impact fee collection is negligible. And so is the board ready to recommend a double-digit increase to pay for debt service for a $35 million expansion of the treatment plan? So we're going to have to make some decisions. We're going to hash it through again as an administrative staff on Monday. We do have the number. We're going to use that number toward the IFFP as we project what our future impact fees need to be. We're going to, and Bowen Collins also has the information, so they're going to try to feed this into the master plan to hopefully give us some guidance. So I don't want anyone to be sticker shocked in the next little bit when we're throwing out numbers like that.
What does the $35 million get us?
It gets us accountable room. It expands the treatment plan from 2.6 MGD to, is it 5 or 5.6?
5.4
MGD.
I thought you said that wasn't a very good option. There's just no bang for the buck there.
Well, as we've explored the sending water to Park City and receiving it back, there's no way to receive that water back. So that was something that we had looked at as an alternative to expanding the treatment plant. So we can send water to Park City. There's just no capacity to send any type of volume of water back.
That's what you hear.
Could you construct something?
This pipe.
Okay.
It could go to the colonies.
Well, this pipe is going to be fully allocated. It's not water. So unless that pipe size is...
If you upsize it.
But we don't need water on this side of the district. We really need it to come through Atkinson.
But it can go there to the colony and then feed down to Spring.
So I've got some background, because in the 90s, we looked at this alignment as a way to serve the colonies. And it kind of fell apart, and so but it was still Park City's water, and we actually ran it through Mountain Regional's pipes, and we built the stuff on Old Ranch Road and did the Old Ranch Road booster. All that with Park City's water rights, but it would free up the water maybe coming through Old Ranch and that system if it could come from Park City through here.
I mean, that's
way out there, maybe, but something new. I think we need alternatives to that 35 minutes.
Yeah. Do we have enough water? So knowing that probably the majority of the growth is going to come in the remainder of Promontory and Silver Creek Village, have we kind of accounted for that in our projection, like on Schedule D, or what we're going to have available over the next 10 years to handle that growth?
Yeah, so we have our own internal projection for water needs on an annual and peak day basis. And then in conjunction, Bowen and Collins is doing a very similar analysis. So having a third party, second set of eyes, look at the same thing. So I think it's probably an appropriate time to give you guys an update in the near future on the master planning efforts with the supply and demand, where we sit there. And we can kind of show our internal projection as well as where we're sitting. Yeah. So we can put them together.
And we're not going to be on the hook to, like, would the county ask us to do anything with that area that they're talking about doing in Hoytsville?
We don't know.
Okay.
We don't, probably not. I mean, we probably have to hop through toll gate and get over that way. But, you know, did anyone think we'd be in Summit Park and then Silver Springs and seem to cobble up things? So I don't know what the future holds.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Well, I guess we'll gird our loins for the $34 million projection.
cover that over whatever the time frame is with an increase in impact fees rather than an increase in user fees.
So impact fees are lagging, right? You can't wait to collect the impact fees and then do it. We'd have to build it and then over time collect the impact fees. And then one of the questions I asked Dave, I mean, where your growth is in Promontory, and Promontory today has a special arrangement on impact fees, so we're not collecting a full impact fee. So we have to figure out how to close that gap, and then there's some other prepays back here that don't, that aren't a full impact fee. And conversely, when Promontory built the treatment plant, built 15B, that all benefited the district, but that was only paid by Promontory. So I know it sounds like we're asking existing customers to foot the bill for growth, mm-hmm. but customers have benefited from other infrastructure put in by other developers. So it's kind of coming back full circle. It's like, you don't have kids in school, but you still pay the school tax.
Well, in Promontory, you collect a fee when the lot sells. So you really don't have, like, there are going to be lots out there that people are never going to build on that we've already collected our money on.
But then you got to figure out, you got to still prepare for that growth. It's, I mean, it's really a balancing act of what do we do? You know, I really thought that sending water to Park City made a lot of sense, but getting it back is the big, we're not there yet, but we're getting closer to having to make a decision, trying to figure out the absorption rate. When, you know, are we now going to be in a 5 or 10 year lull? It's, I don't know if anyone has a crystal ball, because we're using your projections from the sewer district.
Sure.
So it's your fault.
We're using yours from your monthly reports.
We'll blame it on board.
Well, I think
number.
Just have to be mindful of what the difference now that we're seeing with the new landscape ordinances, the kind of product that's coming on. We're not going to have the same kind of usage that's been historical in Park City. So I know what we may be seeing as far as assumptions are going, but I think we really need to vet the assumptions to make sure they make sense. And if we need that water right now, that I think there's still some assumptions that we need to, and that we'll work through with Bowen and Collins and Jacob.
And is this going to be a major topic at the retreat?
100%.
It's going to be now, for sure. That is the retreat. All right, got it.
That's all my good news.
For that, we're on to Dave Thomas. And even though it just says other, it's 45 minutes. So it must be something pretty amazing.
You know, I was going to have some big news. We were going to have sheriff's deputies at the doors so nobody could leave. But, you know, I yield my time back to
It was a carryover from the training, just in case we wanted it again.
Really, Ian, you have to probably participate in that online.
I'll be happy to report that Ian did complete his assigned training in a expeditious amount of time, and he's certified under the
I even sent a couple of comments and suggestions for next year.
What about the other training? Isn't there another training that we have?
Open meeting day training.
Last year. Yeah.
And that's done by the county, my boss, county attorney. And usually we do that once a year. And I'm not sure when the next one is going to be.
Okay.
I feel like it's fall.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. In the winter, and then maybe it, I don't know. I know you went to one, Ian, because I was there.
I've gone to a couple in person.
Yeah, in person.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I did send everyone an email that the county did approve the change to the personnel policy that the board members received $300 per meeting. The board chair receives an extra $50 paid quarterly. And if you are interested in participating in purchasing insurance, that is also, I don't know what that window would be that.
I think they said it acted like a life event.
Like a life event.
So they could come on at any time.
But is it Typically, like
you're
within 30
or
days.
You're losing in coverage or something like that. Yeah, yeah, it would be like the next month.
But if we wanted to wait until open enrollment, when would that be?
That's November.
Okay. So it's normal.
Mm-hmm. With a January 1 start.
Yep. Yeah. And then it would start the first of that next calendar year.
Okay. Great.
So I was able to find not some of the building renderings, but just overall site stuff for that. Just give you an idea of what's being proposed for the office and shop complex. So this is to get a map. North is up. So this is the currently the road that they're bringing in right now. The UDOT parcel is just off the bottom of the page. So office space with public entrance to the northeast and shop space behind. The idea being that we can share scale with the fueling station as part of the High Valley Transit, right? So we want that sort of be back of house with access through there. It's changed slightly, but that's just kind of the rough idea. So bigger shop space back here that's expandable. Same thing, office with expandable space off here to the south again. Vehicle wash, outdoor storage, you know, non-conditioned space down here on the end. This is a rough, this is a couple weeks old. We've made some changes to this, but that's a kind of a rough idea of what we're talking about from an office, admin kind of space. Conference room that's splittable, smaller conference room, staff, kitchen area, back of house, like, bathrooms, showers, locker room, boot dryer, kind of that kind of stuff to keep the mud from the guys coming in, separate from the rest of the office. All admin and staff seating, workspace, drop down areas, water quality room, utilities, server room, front of house, so the customer service, front facing area down here. Hopefully next time we can get you guys some renderings to give you an idea of what they're shooting for aesthetics of the building.
Nice. Okay, so do we have any questions on department updates?
Oh, I did have one. Lisa, the employee appreciation was May 15th. Do you need board members to participate in that?
Sure. We love board members to participate.
All right. You've asked in the past.
This is the first time we've done it, like an appreciation week.
Oh, it's a whole week?
It's a whole week.
Oh, that's a big ask.
It's kind of week.
Okay, it's
we're going Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
And Wednesday will be the bigger get together. We're going to go bowling. So if you're a good bowler, I'm looking for someone from my team.
I'm lucky.
You go bowling.
We're going to go to Ebert.
I'm going to say the only bowling alley in Park City is Montage.
We can go there.
Or Promontory.
Oh, do you
Yeah. The only bowling alley with a view.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Am I hearing anybody? The team? Great.
Let me know if you need an invite.
I got my own rental property. That's true.
Any other questions on the department updates? Otherwise, I had a question for Sam. Could we look at the water loss report? You put out the water loss report. I wasn't sure, like, is the 15% typical for the industry? And it looked like December was, I don't know. It seemed like a weird month to have a big variance.
Yeah, well, that's a good pickup for sure. So overall, putting together the supply and demand balances, water loss reporting is a big effort for the district. And it's kind of like a multi-month deal. And our tools, I think, improved a lot this year. So I feel better about the water loss number than we've had for some time. And there is a lot of variance month to month. You know, that can be explained by leaks.
Is it just that in March, people turn on their water and then...
meteorological conditions. Yeah, there's...
Yeah.
The more water we're pushing, the more efficient the system gets overall. So yeah, loss isn't consistent month to month, but I think on aggregate over the course of the year, I feel pretty good about the numbers. So, yeah, just kind of included for reference. Just, I think it's kind of interesting to see how, you know,
yeah,
production looks over the course of the year and how much water we're losing, how much water we're delivering.
Well, from a concurrency standpoint, year over year, our loss is less 21 to 22.
What's that?
The numbers that we reported as water loss for concurrency are lower in 22.
We're getting better.
Percentage loss?
Yes.
Oh, we're improving.
Yes.
Our losses are dropping.
As a percent. Totally.
And I thought I remember we're significantly lower than industry average nationwide.
Yeah, I'd say 20 would be like on the high side for like the industry standard. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we're getting closer to the average.
Yeah, and I think from where we were historically, we've made a huge improvement.
Yeah.
So that's the exciting part.
Is there something of a goal or a metric that we're shooting for, or is it just
all?
Right, but, you know, I mean, setting a realistic expectation.
As much as we can.
It will never be zero. Because you don't know, is it a faulty meter read? Is someone on your hydrant that you don't know about? Is it a true leak? There are just so many variables. I mean, if we could get 10 to 12%, I think that would be really, really good. I don't know how realistic that is.
I think 10% is a good internal to shoot for. And I think 50% is adequate. I think that's more realistic. That's something we can achieve year over year, at least maintain.
Is there some sort of asset management system that we put in place to aid that on that we're not using, or anything that we can do to help?
Yeah, I think we can make improvements there for sure. What we do now typically is we have metering in place, so essentially we can create a water balance at any storage tank throughout the district. So those are like smaller neighborhood chunks, and can monitor water loss not only in percentage based on the tank zone, but overall magnitude. So that kind of helps us zoom in on where we need to unleak. And of course, if we see something pick up, that really narrows down the search field. And then our operations department is excellent about being able to track those.
But yes, we do need to implement an asset management plan. We currently do not have one.
But an asset management plan is not going to catch leaks
fast
enough. So the stuff we do through our SCADA system is what generally creates, you know, elicits a response from the operations crew to go respond to leaks, because we can see the baseline leakage, you know, within a few hours, usually even something happened. That's what we currently use. And it's much more responsive than than the asset management. The asset management will be for long term, pipe degradation, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Be able to plan, like Mike's point, be able to plan expenditures for pipe replacement over time.
And we'll be replacing a section in Summit Park.
Sure.
When the snow melts. Did they ever find that leak in the colony, by the way?
I haven't heard anything.
But the asset management plan, it sounds like it would add a lot of value from the standpoint of, like, we've heard previously that certain areas in the district used a certain type pipe that's been failing in, you know, hundreds of meters at a time. And so, I mean, we kind of know where some of those things are going to fail. And maybe we could forecast that.
Yeah.
Or where we throw dollars.
Yeah, I agree.
What to budget. You know, how much junk's out there.
Okay. Any other questions on department updates? Otherwise,
So Lisa's found a rendering.
Oh, that looks great.
This is just, this is pretty preliminary. I think they just took pictures because there's like a whole, I don't know, 3D model that we've been looking at, but these are just the.
So it's the gray is like a board form concrete. Mm-hmm. And then the brown or tan area is a wood-like
The roof, metal?
Yeah. Metal roof.
Ask them to put 6 feet of snow on that.
I was thinking the same thing. Look at where the snow slides.
They have completely confirmed that flat roofs are okay.
They are. They can carry the load.
I know, but we've had that. We've had this. This is part of our big discussion today.
I got voted down internally and externally on slanting all the roofs today.
We'll put snow cleats up there and try to maintain snow up on the roof as opposed to letting it slide off.
Okay.
Well, that's, yeah, preliminary, but
we had a cool, well, we talked to the landscape architect today and where we kind of have an expansion section off, I guess it would be the back side.
Is this the, does that face north? Which way is the south?
Kind of northeast. So this is the rear of the project.
Is that the
south? Yeah, so that would be west.
Yeah, we're looking south to north right here.
Yeah.
So that'd be sunny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have all those, the windows. Well, I guess on the, I went the wrong way.
But there's shading.
Windows
up
there. The admin or the shop building will be directly behind there, and that's pretty tall, so that will cast some of the shadow. But we were looking at, they were running a model with the lights and the shadows today. That was kind of interesting. But this will be the area where there could be expansion in the future. And over here in the side, we're going to have the conservation garden, and this is Sago Lily Way that Chris was showing you on the site plan. So, well, our conservation garden will kind of wrap around to the front of the building and to the side here, right off the conference room and this employee patio here. But we also today talked about having a real native meadow kind of in this area that would at one point be used, you know, if we wanted to expand the building, but talked about walking paths and just having something that's really native and easy that people could access to kind of ideas. Employees could use it to like eat lunch. Yeah, that is the south side of the building. And then they could also go to the conservation garden around the side there. That would be a more formal, what you think, the conservation garden. So, yeah. So,
yeah, you can't see this.
I'm going to take the garbage out too.
Those windows look pretty low to the ground to me on the back side there.
We talked about raising the concrete.
Yeah, I think we're going to raise it like up here.
Taller.
Just for
snow loads standpoint, the roof shedding and so forth. So.
As it moves along, it'll be fun to show you kind of what we're thinking and make sure you think it all looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be meeting in that nice room right there instead of here.
Yeah.
When? What's the timing?
2025.
Hang on a little more.
When in June? We're winning.
We're hoping by.
It says June 25th.
June break ground next year, a year from now. It'll be an 18 month build. Well, no, less than 18 months.
Thanks, guys. Sorry, I don't.
Okay, if we don't have anything else, we will stand adjourned at 6:58.